So God's testing of any believer is always the evidence that he knows and he has confidence that you're going to pass that test. God never will test you if you do not within yourself, by his grace and strength, have the capacity to pass the test.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome back, and thank you so much for tuning in. Today, Pastor Bill takes us deeper into Hebrews chapter 11 as we look at the faith of Abraham. Why was Abraham willing to offer up his son Isaac? Let's join Pastor now with today's message. What did Abraham see?
Amen. Hebrews has been an incredible study, hasn't it? I mean, I know we're in chapter 11, just in the few of the 17, verse 17 and so forth. But you know, I have so enjoyed teaching through this letter, Paul the Apostle, whoever the author is, this letter of exhortation written to the Jewish believers who've turned to Christ Jesus, left Judaism, left the Levitical system, the sacrifices, because the temple is still standing and sacrifices are still being offered, and they have walked away from all of that and are following the Lord. And of course, there's problems, there's persecutions, the things that are occurring. And so remember that this letter written to encourage them not to stop running the race, but to keep moving forward. Amen? It's written to us as well. I mean, it's no different. But remember also that we learned when we stopped in chapter 10, I think it was verse 38 and 39, that ended the doctrinal teaching or doctrinal section of this incredible letter of Hebrews. And then began the application. In other words, we hear the word of God, now we do the word of God. Amen? And so we left off like in 38 of chapter 10, where it talks about the just shall live by faith. And that is the only way. If we are born from above, if we're new creations in Christ, there is absolutely no other way to live for the Lord except by faith. And we know that true Bible faith is that confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances or any kind of consequences. And so true in our study this morning about Abraham. Remember, we left off where God said that he was not ashamed to align his name with the saints, those three patriarchs. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob. Amen? Well, how incredible is that? And so this morning, we're going to look at the greatest test in Scripture. And that test is given unto a man called Abraham. And he is, listen now, very important. He is the only one in chapter 11 that it is recorded that God tested. Not any of the others. It's not recorded for us. He, of course, tested many, but it's not recorded in chapter 11. So Abraham is certainly, he is very, very unique because he is tested by God. But it's important that we understand something. That this test that we're going to look at this morning, no other person in Scripture has ever been or ever will be tested like Abraham. God's command to Abraham, the test, listen, is unique in all of history. God never called anyone else to be tested like Abraham, and he has never called anyone else to be tested like Abraham. No one else. Now, in these verses that we're going to read here in a moment, in verse 17 and following, there's 50 words, verses 17 to 19. And, you know, it's difficult for any man of God to truly teach and understand the depth of the words this morning in those scriptures. They're a mystery. They're a divine mystery. God doesn't give us a lot of information in the background of the heart of Abraham or Isaac, okay? And so when we look at this, we have to understand that we're literally the foundation that we're about to walk on. We consider this to be holy ground. Amen? And so it's very important. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about what did Abraham see? Say that with me. What did Abraham see? And look at verse 17 with me then of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested by God, offered up Isaac, And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, question, did you notice it? God said his only begotten son. Did Abraham have more children? He had Ishmael, right? Ishmael was a work of the flesh by Hagar, okay? He wasn't the son of promise. God recognizes only one son, and that is Isaac. We know that. Now, here's the deal. Remember when Sarah and Abraham, he was 100 and she was 90 years old, and they finally had Isaac, amen? Well, after Sarah died, did Abraham remarry? Yes, a lady named Keturah. And here's the deal. He had, six more kids. So I guess that miracle just continued, if you know what I'm, never mind. All right. It says, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. In other words, only through Isaac would God's promise be fulfilled, concluding that God was able to raise up even from the dead, from which he also received him, Isaac, in a figurative sense. Turn in your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 22. This is the seventh in Genesis 22, which goes right here with Hebrews. This is the seventh and final time recorded for us that God is speaking there with Abraham. He's revealing himself since Haran, so that would be the seventh time. So it says here, Genesis 22:1, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abram, and he said, here I am. So after these things, what things? Well, we have to go back to chapter 21 and find out. Number one, it was after the birth of Isaac, after he had moved to Beersheba, and he had been there now, over 30 years have passed since then, okay, from 21 to 22. And so it was a peaceful time. And during those 30 years, after the birth of Isaac, they watched their son called Laughter. They laughed all the way, I'm sure. Their son Laughter grow up right before them, amen? Now, with all of that being said, they waited a long time for Isaac, didn't they? 25 long years they waited. And then Abraham does something. He speaks to God, and he doesn't speak to God anymore in this story or in this chapter, okay? He just says to God, he says, here I am. Now, he's going to speak to servants later on. He's going to speak to Isaac later on, but he does not say one more word to God in this incredible story. So God called Abraham, and when he did that, he was calling him the father of many nations, or the father of the multitude. And I'm sure that blessed Abraham. But this time, something is different. Out of all the other times that God spoke to Abraham, this one is different because it's going to blow him away. Even though it's not recorded, it had to have shaken him. Listen, because he's getting ready to be tested. Now, we know, we have the Bible. We know the story, amen? We know he's going to be tested. Do you think Abraham knew that? No. Like I just said, every other time that God spoke to him, man, it was, I give you another promise, I give you another promise, and so forth. But this time, after the son of promise, Isaac, is born, God says something totally different. He's going to test him. Now listen, God's test for you, for Abraham, for me, they are always, this is so important, they are always unique to the individual. Okay? They're designed specifically by God for the individual. And the thing is, it's always for a specific purpose. God's tests always advance us, or if they don't, then they put us on hold. But it's always from going from glory to glory. And what we have to do now before we get into this story is we have to remove all or any false thinking that we may have when it concerns tests from God our Father. God's tests are not designed to scare you to death, although they do. God's test, when he tests those that he loves, his children, just like any father, they're not designed to harm you. Okay? Are y'all with me? Okay. Now, God tests, they don't destroy you, but they do promote you. And that's what happens in this story here. So God's testing of any believer is always the evidence that he knows And he has confidence that you're going to pass that test. God never will test you if you do not within yourself, by his grace and strength, have the capacity to pass the test. Very, very important, loved one. So listen, God loved Abraham. He still loves Abraham. God loves Isaac. God loves you. He loves me. And when God tests us, it is an honor to be tested by God, even though it doesn't feel like an honor. Why is his test an honor? Because God is perfect. Everything he does is perfect. We don't understand what trials and things that come into our life. I mean, he doesn't tempt us with evil or anything like that. God can't do that. But there are trials that come into our life. And either we're going to stand on the promises of God or we're not going to stand on the promises of God. Amen? Now, so with all of that being said, again, his way is perfect. And besides that, we are in the Lord. John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything, can't do nothing. But with Jesus, you can do anything. Amen? So we have the strength because God has already provided it. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth working in us to help us get through these trials and these tests in life and so forth. And God's motive is to prove us, if you will, for ourselves. God's test is never to weaken you in your life. It's always to strengthen you. So with that being spelled out now, let's look at a never repeated test ever given to anyone else in Scripture, beginning in verse 2. And God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of God, which I shall tell you. Now, how would you like to get a word like that? Are y'all listening? I mean, come on. I hear people say it all the time. Man, I need a word from God. I mean, you know, I don't want that one. You know, I mean, you know, I got a word from God, but it's always a, you know, big, it's good. But what would you do if you got something like this? I mean, see, we don't see Abraham's face. We don't see his countenance. We don't see maybe a stunned look upon his face. We don't see anything. Everything is hidden from us. It's a mystery, all these things we're looking at, although we're going to solve it, I hope, toward the end. So we look at this, and God says, okay, I want you to take only the only son you have, that only one, the son of promise, the one I gave you, the one I blessed you with, the one I promised you, the one that I told you, you're going to call his name Isaac. Think about that. And I want you to take him up to a specific place. The one that was born to you when you were just an old, old 100-year-old man. I want you to take this guy, your only son, up to that specific place. And I want you to build a specific altar, okay? And then I want you to build it out of this wood. And then I want you to bind your son, his hands, bind his feet. And I want you then to lay him on the wood for a burnt offering. And I want you to take out a knife. And I want you to cut your son's throat. I want you to sacrifice him as you have sacrificed lambs. Now, what would you do receiving a word like that? I mean, if God spoke that, think about this. First of all, is it unthinkable? Yeah, I mean, you can't even study this without being shocked. It's unthinkable. Not only is it unthinkable, it doesn't make any sense. There's nothing in the natural man, nothing even in the spiritual man, because it contradicts God's word. Amen? Does God approve of human sacrifice? No, God condemns human sacrifice. So you can imagine what was thinking. I mean, what was Abraham thinking? But what I really want you to see, and I have to mention this, it would be a shame not to mention it, is that in verse 2 is a powerful scripture. And the reason I say it's powerful is because the law of first mention is all over the place, okay? Meaning the first mention of specific words in the Bible, first appearance of these words. I want you to look at them. For example, only son, that's the first mention. Burnt offering, only mention. And worship in verse 5, that's only the first time ever mentioned in Scripture. But then I want you to key in on that word love. That's the first time it's mentioned in Scripture. And don't miss this now. It's not the love between, say, husband, wife, wife, or husband. That's not what it's about. This right here is about the Father's love for His only Son. Does that ring a bell? Yes. Now, if you went over to the New Testament and looked for the word love, first mention, you'd find in Matthew's gospel, the first mention really of love is Matthew 3:17, where God speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved or my loved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then if you went into the next gospel, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 11, you would hear the same voice from heaven say the exact same thing. And then if you went over to Luke's gospel, the first mention of love would be in chapter 3, verse 22. And then three times God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And then what does Jesus do? In John 3:16, after God speaks from heaven three times, He comes and tells Nicodemus, and He tells us, "For God so loved the world. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everybody. He gave His only begotten Son." Amen? So that first mention of all those things. But it says, God says, "Whom you love, Abraham, take him where I tell you to take him, and you offer him as a sacrifice." You know, whenever the test we endure as believers, and we have tests all the time, loved one, but it always proves our faith, doesn't it? Do we believe the word of God? So God says to Abram, "Give up the one I blessed you with. Give up the son that you love with all of your heart and Sarai loves with all of their heart. Give up this son, Abraham, because if you give up this son, you now give up your future. You will have no descendants." Are you following me? Man, Isaac wasn't married. And I say, "Oh, Lord." So we have to say, okay, we know that Abraham, he waited for Isaac, but we have to find out, we know the story, but will he wound Isaac? That's the key right here. Now listen, Abraham, he was walking by faith, not by sight. He didn't have a clue of what was going on. We know why. We know that this right here is speaking of a sacrifice, yes, a human sacrifice, the God-man who sacrificed himself for the sins of the world. Amen? It says in Romans 8:32, "He did not spare," or "God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" Now, what's interesting about this story is that Abraham, as the test begins, I don't know why it just hit me, but he doesn't pray. He doesn't say a word to God. He doesn't even intercede like he did for Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18 and 19. Remember? He said, "Oh, Lord, you're going to go destroy that." He said, "But if you find just 10 righteous, if I find 10, I won't do it." You know what I mean? You know the story. But he doesn't do that. He's in absolute submission, but he's also in absolute silence before God. And look what he does in verse 3. "So Abraham rose in the late afternoon." Oh, I'm sorry. He rose what? Early. Boy, look at that obedience. Daybreak, man. He was up and at him. He says he rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. Now look what Abraham does. He doesn't let his servants do anything. The father does it all. He split the wood for the burnt offering. He arose and went to the place of which God had told him. That is what I call an incredible response. I mean, that is immediate obedience. There's not one thought. We're not given one thought, one word of his emotion, what he was thinking. I mean, he didn't say one word to Sarah. Sarah would have probably shot him if he, you know what I'm saying, if he'd known that. He didn't call his pastor. He didn't have one, huh? So he doesn't even question God. And I'm going, "Lord, you're going to have to help me here," because I would question God, wouldn't you? But he didn't even question God. And look what happened in verse 4. And then on the what day? Is that an important day? Yes. Then on the third day, Abraham did something. What did Abraham see, loved one? It says he lifted up his eyes and he saw something. He saw the place afar off. Now, from Beersheba to Jerusalem, because that is Jerusalem where he's going to, Mount Moriah, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that that would be the future Jerusalem, if you will. So he's gone there. It's about a 3-day journey. And then it's not recorded We don't have any of his emotions. But can I tell you what? If I was taking my son on a three-day journey and God told me to sacrifice him, which that's not going to happen, but if he did, do you think the devil is in the background someplace? Do you think he is beating his brains out, you know, and whatever, and just, you can imagine the pressure that he is undergoing, the attack that he is experiencing. And so, I mean, what in the world would he even be able to act upon here? And then it says in verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, now stay here with the donkey. That would be Bill, okay? Stay here with the donkey. And the lad and I will go yonder and worship. Now, there's another word, worship, first mentioned in the Bible. The worship of God, think about it, is connected with this sacrifice of Isaac, okay? So he says here, we're going to go yonder and worship, and watch this, and we will come back to you. Not I will come back to you. It says we will come back to you. Now, I want you to see something. He called Isaac a lad. Now, if you were studying in Hebrew, the text, the word for lad there is the same word used for his servants, okay? So he wasn't a teenager. He wasn't 13, 14 years old. Like I said, 30 years had passed, all right? So Josephus and many other scholars, and he wasn't a scholar, he was a historian, but he said that he was anywhere from 30 to 33 years of age. That's very interesting, isn't it? 33. Now, and so here, they went up there to worship. So I want you to catch something else. The transaction was only between the father and the son. The servants, no one else, no man had anything to do with this. Everything revolved around only the father and the son. That's just like the cross, amen? Now, so Abraham's test of faith. He said, my son, the only son that I have, and the one whom I love, we're going to come back to you. I'm not coming back with a dead man. Listen, or a dead son, we could say. Is that what you call faith? That is incredible faith. So Abraham knew and believed with all of his heart that all of his descendants were in Isaac, the son of promise, okay? And not only that, the death of Isaac, if Isaac died, then the future lineage would die with him, because it says in Genesis 21:12 there that God said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. So Abraham said, no, we're coming back. Why did he say that? Because he believes in the promises of God. And look at verse 6. So Abraham, he took the wood of the burnt offering. Look what he did with it now. And laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. It says that Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. Now that is a symbol of the cross of Christ, by the way. And it says he laid it on his son. It literally, Isaac received the wood. He put the wood, he carried the wood up to the mount of sacrifice. Are y'all following me? Yes. Do you see the typology here? Yes. Okay, good. All right. So whenever you look there, for example, the fire speaks of the judgment or the wrath of God that God poured out upon Jesus, our Lord, upon the cross, not upon us, the sinner. Thank God for that. And so here he says, and Isaac, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father? And he said, here I am, my son. And then he said, well, you know, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Is that a great question? I mean, see, at this point now, very important, Isaac had no clue that he was going to be the sacrifice, all right? I mean, if he even had a clue, I think I'd be running, right? Yeah. And Abraham, look what he said now, how he answered Isaac. Abraham said, oh, my son, God will provide for himself, or literally, God will provide himself the lamb. Yes, he did. For a burnt offering. John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Abraham obeyed God by faith when he did not understand how God was working. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word, despite circumstances and consequences. Please tune in tomorrow when Pastor Bill will conclude the message, What Did Abraham See? And we want to thank you for tuning in today. and we'll look for you again tomorrow. Have a great day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.